Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
Can you feel it?
And our phone lines here are 221-1402. Feel what?
All right. The opening just is like Bon Jovi. Yeah. When he sings all right, we know we're here. We are so present.
And speaking of all right, is our very present producer, Kelly.
Good morning.
Hey, today's a big day for the station.
Yeah, free food.
Well, the reason it's free food, which is big for Kelly, eats once every time they have free food, is today is a day where you can call up Reading Radio and get the best rates for advertising you're ever going to get. And speaking of the best you're ever going to get, here's my bride.
Do you know what today is?
Today is 9909.
It's the day to get dressed to the nines, to listen to the Beatles, to get married at a discount rate, because I guess they're doing it some places for $99, including Shasta County. And inspiring lots of events, like we talked about, and predictions. And I got a couple stats here I wanted to just tell you really quick. Both China and Japan have strong feelings about the number nine. Those feelings just happen to be on opposite end of the spectrum, because the Chinese pulled out all the stops to celebrate their lucky number 8 during last year's Summer Olympics, ringing the games in at 8 p.m. 8808. What many might not realize is that 9 comes in second on their list of auspicious digits and is associated with long life due to how similar its pronunciation is to the local word for long lasting, which means 8, 9. The nines that get, did you get any of that? Did that make sense to you at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep going.
Historically, ancient Chinese emperors associated themselves closely with the number 9, which appears prominently in architecture and royal dress, often in the form of 9 fearsome dragons. The imperial dynasties were so convinced of the power of the number 9 that the palace complex at Beijing's Forbidden City is rumored to have been built with 9,999 rooms.
So somebody just went through there and counted them.
It's rumored.
Rumored.
Okay.
Hey, and we have never been known to pass rumors on this show.
And in Japanese, the word for 9 is homophone for the word for suffering. So the number is considered highly unlikely.
Yeah, it's a difference the Japanese, between the cultures. Japanese hate the number 9.
Well, in numerology, 9 is supposed to be, you're entering a 9 year, which is supposed to be kind of a tumultuous year. But your 9 and my 9 might be different.
Okay, now, September 9th is also the 252nd day of the year, right? And if you add 2 plus 5 plus 2, what's that make? 9.
And it's 2 days before, of course, our September 11th, our great memorial, and we're going to be talking about that right after the break. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Let's go to the phones here. John, you're on Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, good morning. John Kaler here, Reading Fire Department Deputy Fire Chief, and one of the primary organizers of the Patriot Day ceremony that will be held this Friday on commemoration of the 8th-year anniversary of 9/11.
Okay, John, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your willingness to serve as our keynote speaker and deliver the Patriot Day address, and I'll just go through what kind of the history of it is, and then I'll go through what's going to actually occur, if you have time for that.
Sure.
Okay. Well, this is an annual event that occurs every September 11th. In 2002, President Bush proclaimed September 11th to be deemed Patriot Day. And so on every September 11th, we put on a ceremony to commemorate the tragic events and to honor the fallen firefighters, police officers, and the ongoing efforts of our military to combat the terrorist attack and the ongoing war on terror. So it's our pleasure to do that. And essentially what will occur this Friday on September 11th is about 06:30 in the morning, one of the Cal Fire bagpipers will, Dale Wilson is his name, will start playing the bagpipes. And about 6:45, the Enterprise High School Band will arrive and start playing some patriotic songs. And about 7 o'clock, just after sunrise, it's a beautiful sight to see the giant flag flying. Our Color Guard, which is a multi-agency Color Guard comprised of Reading Fire Department, Cal Fire, Reading Police, CHP, Marshal's Office, Sheriff's Office, and Military will present the colors. And then there will be an invocation by one of our fire chaplains, Jeff Jones, a Pledge of Allegiance led by our fire chief, Kevin Kreitman, another song by Enterprise High School, and then Patriot Day Proclamation will be read by Sue Kerr, who is the president of the Enterprise Lions Club. The Enterprise Lions Club are the keepers of the flag. And then another song by Enterprise High School Band, and then Lieutenant Colonel Carl Bott, retired USMC. We're honored to have you speak, be our keynote speaker, and deliver the Patriot Day address. And we're hoping that you'll be talking about what 9/11 means to you and perhaps some of your experiences on what happened that day. And then there will be the retiring of the colors by the Public Safety Color Guard, and then that will be the end of the event. It's fairly brief, 20 to 30 minutes, and we're inviting all of the community to come out and support this event.
Well, you know, I think it's a great adventure you're having. It's going to be at the Giant Flag.
Yes, sir.
It's going to start at 6:45, so you want to get there a little bit, a couple minutes early.
That's correct.
I promise you that I won't keep people there with a long speech, which I think is the best way any speaker should do. And the fact is it will be, you know, like 20 to 30 minutes, so you can make sure you get everybody to work. You know, especially, you know, we have to be at work, as everybody knows, by 8.
Absolutely, and that's so, one of the reasons it was designed. When during the planning process, we thought it would be nice to be able to do it before work. And also, being in the middle of fire season, there's a lot of firefighters involved in the planning and the actual participation of the event. So we want to make sure that that they're available. So typically in the afternoons, we're out fighting fire someplace.
Yeah.
So.
You know, some people don't believe in Patriot Day. I feel sorry for them. They miss the whole point of, you know, of the fact that, you know, so many people that day that died. And it's not just the people that were killed when the planes went in there. It's they forget that the police and the firemen who had a choice charged those buildings to try and save people, to put their, they put their lives on the line, and they were all killed. Not some of them. They were all killed that day. And I was at Ground Zero soon after it happened doing other work. And and I found a fire station there that had a photo that the whole shift, the entire shift was killed that day. And when they went into the Twin Towers, you know, and it's what we can't forget is that was an attack on our country. You know, whatever else people may think, where were you that day? What effect did it have on you? How has it changed our country? You know, so it's something that is it's a tremendous effect in any way you look at it. So I am honored to be asked to speak there. And I think what you all are doing is great. I support it 1,000%.
6:30 a.m. on Friday at the Big Flag on Bocelli.
Yeah, getting there early because it's going to kick off at 6:45.
That's correct.
And we'll talk about it a few more times.
Very well.
Hey, John, thank you so much for what you do.
My pleasure, and thank you.
You bet.
Talk to you soon.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know.
We'll have a day that day on the radio as soon as we get back into that. It should be, don't you think, Carl, that we should invite our callers that day to where were you when and what happened, and now that it's the day or the anniversary of, do you still hold it dear into your heart? Or let's just go into what it is, what that day really represents and where we are today.
It seems like a lot of people would just as soon forget it. You know, I see in the media and things that that they, you know, that... You know, we can blame ourselves as you know, some have. They've blamed our country and our people for causing this, and you know, oh, what do you expect? And you know, it's the kind of thing. It's like it's our responsibility because you know, terrorists crashed planes into the World Trade Towers. It was the people on the ground that was their fault, and it was It was, you know, it was the policeman and the fireman. It was their fault. You know, I find that when people say that, I find them so stupidly naive that I wonder how they can even take up air. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
This is KQMS, News Talk 1400, the Free Fire Radio, Carla Lindebaugh here. What we like to do is, well, first of all, we're open line 221-1402. If you've got something on your mind, do call in. Share with our listeners. We love to network you guys. We like to help you problem solve. We like to hear your rants. But something that we wanted to bring to you, another, mark this on your calendar, attention, red light. We were driving yesterday down, down an alley somewhere. We ran into somebody that we knew. We said, "Hey, what's up, guy?"
And he says, "Hey, I've got prostate cancer." And we go, and I mean, you know, this, oh, okay, that kind of like closes the conversation there. But here's the bottom line on it is that the reason he found it was he had a PSA. And it's a blood test. And if you're male, and if you're over the age of 40 or even earlier, you should get a PSA. And that will say if there's something going on with your prostate. And I hate, you know, talking about prostates, but this guy is young. He's healthy, works out all the time, and he got hit with this. So, you know, it just kind of drove it home is that, you know, this is, you know, we talk about curing cancer and we talk about health care and all this. This is something that if you catch early, you can fix. It's got like 100% recovery rate.
And he did not find out through,
an exam.
Exactly. So
it had to take the test.
He took the blood test and he went from a 1 to a 4 and it spiked. And so they caught it early. Anyway, yeah. So that's just okay. An attention grabber, folks.
Anyway, okay. John, you're on Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, Carl. My cell phone is dying here, but I wanted to bring up Lance Corporal Joshua Bernard, who's in this. He's deceased. He was killed in battle, and they're debating whether to show his pictures in the press. Some press did, some didn't. And I listened to the NPR show and heard varying opinions about whether it should or should not, and probably the most telling was from a sergeant in the Marine Corps who said despite his parents' feelings, he felt it important that the picture shown so people find out what the value or is, what it cost. And I think my phone's dying, so I'm going to have to just listen to you on air.
Okay, because that was one of the things I was going to talk about yesterday, and we didn't get to it. So, John, thanks for bringing it up, because, yeah, I have strong feelings about this. The AP, an embedded photographer, took a photo of Lance Corporal Bernard. And they'd been hit by an RPG during an attack. I think it removed part of his lower leg, left leg. And the shot was from a distance, and it showed Marines surrounded him during a firefight helping him. The Department of Defense, DOD, Gates, pleaded with the AP not to show this. Now, this happened back in August. The funeral's already been. It's not like, you know, you see it for the first time. The family sees their loved ones being shot up, you know, for the first time on the news, like it was in Vietnam, you know, with those buzzards that circled around the warriors out there. This has happened back in early August. The funeral had already taken place. Gates said, please do not do it. The family does not want these photos taken. Or published. And the father said, this is horrible. I don't want to see it. AP had come to the father and shown him the photos, and he said no. They in turn, did it anyway. Now, how do I feel about that? Well, I agree with that sergeant. War is terrible. War leads to wounded and dead. But to not to show this takes away from the heroism of that young man and every man and woman who has fought for this country. It takes it away. Because it is the result of war that these people come home to us missing limbs, or their bodies come home as we just had the other day, a young Marine, a young soldier coming in from Afghanistan. Maybe if we saw what it takes to fight a war, it would drive it home, because people have kind of put this war in Afghanistan and Iraq on the back burner. And when they've done that, they don't realize what goes on out there. And this is Patriot Day is coming on September 11th, and I actually see people writing things that are that are dismissive of the military. And I feel sorry for this woman who wrote that, that she feels that way. You know, the fact is that America, you know, with a photo like this, you should bow your head and say a prayer of thanks for this young man and for the men that die, men and women that die out there and are wounded. And then raise your head and say thank you that we've got people like this that are willing to go out there and fight these wars, while we sit back here and drink our beer and we stand in front of the flags. They're the ones on the walls. So should they show the photos? Yeah. It just shows, again, the heroism of our men and women that are out there. This is not a cakewalk. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 221-1402. Yeah, I was just talking a little bit about photos. And, you know, it's when you try to hide it, it does, you know, I can understand how a family would feel. I do. But this was, the thing about it is also is that that Marine that was fallen, in the middle of a firefight, his fellow Marines, his brothers were around him, firing back at the enemy and doing their best to keep him alive. They surrounded him. They got him into a helicopter, and the Lance Corporal passed away, died on an operating table hours later. And the thing is that he was surrounded by his brothers the whole time. So, you know, yes, his family wasn't there, but I tell you what, people around him were closer than sometimes in a family will ever be. We're with him the whole time, standing up, in the midst of a firefight with bullets coming by. We're standing up, protecting him. You know, if that doesn't do something to you, then you have never been there and you will never know anyway. So, Nicole, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on Free Fire Radio.
Thank you. I won't keep you very long. I just wonder if our country is attacked, and somebody comes knocking on your door and tells you you have to give up, what do we have to do? And what do we say something like the soldiers or service people say when they're abroad and they're captured?
Well, first of all, Nicole, I don't think we have to worry about that. You know, I don't think that there's anybody going to be coming knocking on your door from another country that wants to take this thing over. So to answer your question, the idea is not to surrender when you're for your Marines and soldiers. And so with this one, I would just say is not even to worry about it, Nicole, because there are too many young men and women and older men and women that are out there that will prevent anything like this ever happening.
So, well, that's wonderful.
I wouldn't even worry about it because, you know, this is our country goes through some upheavals and we get angry with each other and we, every time there's an election, it's an election is peaceful. We do complete changes of power in this country mm-hmm. with no loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
We get angry. Oh, we call each other names, but. You know, and that's why a lot of times I find it so amusing to listen to people when they're calling each other names, and I'm thinking you guys have got no concept of what real anger is because you know they're not coming over and knocking on your door and taking your family out. So, Nicole, it's something that is probably at the another country coming in here and knocking on your door is something that you and I and our grandkids will never see.
Well, I certainly. I hope so, and but on the just to be more accurate, what would a person say? What do the our soldiers say when they're taken in?
Well, usually what they say is probably I can't even say it on the air. You know,
oh, really?
I'm in real trouble now. I mean, it, you know, like in today, if you're fighting against Islamic jihadists, there's not too much you can say because they don't follow the rules that we that we do, and people can talk about torture. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, because out there on the front lines, you know, people aren't being tortured. They're being, you know, they're captured. They're being brought back. They're given medical treatment. And one time we had after one big firefight back in Fallujah, they put the word out they needed blood. Mm-hmm. So everybody, of course, runs down to the aid station to volunteer blood. Well, the blood wasn't for Marines. It was for the Al-Qaeda who had mm-hmm. been wounded, and we were saving their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you is that, you know what, a lot of people left,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people stayed to give yeah. blood to our enemy. So this is the kind of thing that it's a different war.
It's not like reading a book.
No, ma'am, it's not.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I know that sounds silly. Hey, we got somebody in the studio who just walked in, and we grabbed her.
Hey, good morning.
Well, here we go. We love being spontaneous here. And, of course, Carrie Fagan, you know her face. You know yaks. This woman is so amazing with what she's done in the community. How many yaks do we have now? Four?
We have four yaks now. Yes. Simpson University, Bocelli, Hilltop, and South Street.
Yeah, because we work out at Adamson's, and that's your original yaks, right?
Right, yes.
Down, okay.
That's the mothership.
Well, that's the mothership. Love it. Okay, so now you've got something coming up on September 18th, and the reason I wanted you to get in here quickly is because $2 of every ticket is going back to the music departments of our local schools. Tell us what's going on.
We're bringing down a band from Ashland, Oregon, and they play the 70s and 80s music, and they're phenomenal. And what we're going to do a big barbecue, Asiago Ranch burger, and a band. It's called Barbecue and Band Night at Yak's Coffee Shop. And the tickets are $10, and $2 of every ticket goes to Parsons Music Department and Enterprise High School's Music Department. So we want the whole community to come out for this because the music departments are the first thing that gets cut, you know, when budgets get cut. And we love our young people and we love music. So we want the whole community to come down, and you can buy the tickets at all four yaks.
So where is the concert?
It's going to be at Bocelli Yaks.
Okay, sorry. It's going to be inside or out in the parking lot?
Well, it's going to be outside right now.
Oh, how fun.
So you can bring your lawn chair. It's going to be a total family kind of atmosphere. And all of you that are from the 70s and 80s, it's like we totally dance.
Woohoo, that's my era.
Yeah.
So anyway, the band is called The Relief, and they're going on their way to open for Motley Crue?
Well, no, they're not opening for Motley Crue, but they're the next week after me, they're on their way to go play with Motley Crue.
Okay.
So and they're young. This is a young band.
So they probably were like toddlers during the 70s and 80s, and they heard their parents, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Record albums.
Right.
They heard their 8-track.
Right.
8-tracks in their cars. Okay, so that's the 18th. It's called The Relief, $10. And what we really are excited about, $2 from every ticket goes back to the music departments.
We would love to have 500 people come and just support your local schools. And we picked the schools that were around our community, around Bocelli Yaks. And it was just a random pick.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much,
Thank
Karen.
You, Carl.
As
I love
usual.
Listening to you. Wow. Well. Knowledge. Stories.
Stories.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You bet. We'll talk about it again before it happens.
Thank you.
We got to take a quick break here. We come back. We got some people on the line who want to talk about President Obama's speech tonight. You know, and every so often, I like to think as editorial board at the Record Searchlight, you know, does a great job. But not today. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. You know, you can go to KQMS.com and hear us that way, streaming. You can go to 1670 and hear us way out in the country out there, you know, Trinity Center and those places. Let's go to the phones. Bill, good morning. You're on Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was wondering about the speech tonight. The president's supposed to be real, real important, and he's going to clarify everything. And I got a couple of twofold question.
Okay.
One, the speech I heard prior to you coming on air hasn't really been written yet. I mean, they're not finished with it.
No, they're working on it.
Yeah.
They're still doing their polls to see what he should say.
Yeah, he's been on vacation for 2 weeks, and yet he hasn't got this done. And my other thing is, they also said on Fox News he was going to give a eulogy at Walter Cronkite's funeral today.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that's probably to push fairness, Doctor, but if he's supposed to be giving a speech tonight, and they're writing a speech now, and he's gone giving another speech for Walter, where's this oversight of his? I mean, who's running the country? Does he just read whatever somebody writes for him on a teleprompter? I mean, it's supposed to be his vision, his view from him, and he's not there.
Well, you know, most presidents have speechwriters, have a number of speechwriters, and what the president will do is, this is what I want to say. These are the points. You don't give them points to write. And then they write it down, and then he takes it, and then will wordsmith it and change it to what, you know, the way he would say it. And, you know, that's the way it's been for all presidents. Now, he just happens to put his on a teleprompter all the time. And so he can, you know, so, and it's been effective for him. The fact is, everybody does know that when the teleprompter kind of takes a hiccup, that sometimes he has a problem with it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, you know, the thing is, though, is that, no, you know, the words that come out from everything I've read, and, but then again, you know, how much of it's true what you read, is that he has a whole lot to say. He does a whole lot with the speeches. So, I mean, this is what he's done in his life. He's talked a lot about doing things.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe he hasn't accomplished much except become president of the United States, but which but seems to me a big step forward, you know, and it's good on your resume.
Yeah, if he's a visionary, why is he not inputting? If it's supposed to come from him.
Well, like I said, I think he does. Yeah. I think that any president, you know, Bush had people write for him too, and Reagan had people write for him, and everybody has. Is what they do is they tell him, this is what I want to say. They give him the points. They let the people do the grunt work of putting together a speech, and then he goes back and he changes it to the fact of how he likes it and how he wants to say it. So, I'm not too concerned about that. I'm more concerned about, you know, that, what he says in the speech. And, the fact is, it looks like this, part of the deal that they're making is that everybody who does not have health insurance is now going to be taxed and fined. And this is something new. And this is something he said he would never do. But now it can go up to $3,500 per individual. I'm sorry, per family. And I think it's like $1,000 per individual. If you choose not to have insurance, health insurance, they will fine you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So see, all these little things are changing as we go along.
Somebody, hey, Bill. Somebody has to bring into account on the constitutionality of the stuff he's doing. He just can't one man have that kind of power.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Carl.
You bet. Well, you know, there's a lot of things going on too. You know, but going back to Record Searchlight. You know, Record Searchlight hits a home run now and then. You know, single, double. This time, they fouled out. They talked about how the adults, you know, ruined it for the children. Because, gee, what did the president say? The president didn't say anything. I don't think anybody was concerned about what the president was saying, because I don't think anybody believed that he would jump up and say, hey, I'm a supporter of Karl Marx, or that there was, subliminal, you know, messages there to the kids that say, vote for me in 3 years. Because the kids that are 15 in 3 years can vote for him, I think. You know, some people would say that was, you know, pandering to a political base, but, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. The part that I had a problem with, and I think most people had a problem with, is the follow-up plans that the Department of Education sent out. And the bottom line, too, is that, you know, parents need to know what's going on in the schools. You know, as I said yesterday in the show, that when I read that email from one of the school superintendents right here in Reading that says that it would be sad if the parents were going to check everything that was being taught in the schools. That's ridiculous. Parents should check everything that goes on in the schools. So Reading Searchlight, I mean, I understand. You're saying that the parents were unruly, but guess what? The parents have a bottom line, have the right to say something about what happens in the education of their children. Whether you like it or not, that's just the way it is. Just like they have the right to read or not read your paper. So, I would say is it's not just the, it's not unruly parents. It's the way that it was approached by the administration. Here's a man that has been in nothing but contentious, hard battles for 2 months. That steps right back into another one with this. Instead of letting his wife do it. And, of course, there would be people screaming about that. But his wife could just go on and just say, stay in school. Or the president saying, you know what, I'm going to tell people, stay in school, you can do it. That's great, too. But to follow it up with the lesson plan, I don't think so. And I think that was the main problem. And his advisors should know that it was going to be contentious. because people are looking for ways to fight him at every step, right? I mean, come on. I mean, I don't agree with it, but some people are. He could say the sky is blue, and there's some commentators will run outside and say, well, no, it's not really blue. It's kind of a, you know, it's a greenish blue.
Well, it started with the bailouts. Yeah. Well, it started before that. It started with the bailouts. Where'd the money go? Second bailout.
Money still hasn't been spent yet.
Yeah, the trillions of dollars that are going to be affecting us in decades to come from trying to, you know, do these bailouts, which I know you and I didn't believe in that.
No.
We felt like, why should we bail? In fact,
Wally voted for the first one, but not the rest of them.
And so then you have the health care bill. Nobody knows what it's about. It's hard to explain it's about.
Well, it hasn't even been written. I mean, every time they go about it, which is the thing about a speech tonight, maybe he'll get specific, because what a horrendous mistake this man made by throwing out this idea and then having the Congressional Budget Office say it's going to cost trillions of dollars, and there was no guidance from the White House. What's going on here? Hey, we got to take a break. We got people on the phone. Oh boy, those just lit up. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. We're on the Free Fire Zone. Before we get to the phones, I wanted to... Hey, Colleen, if you are listening, call us. Are there any tickets left for Saturday night? It's the United Way celebrity wine tasting thing. All monies are going towards so many things that the United Way do that are just wonderful programs. Let's go to the phones.
Edith, good morning.
Morning.
You're on Free Fire Radio.
Hey, you know why... Principals and everybody are getting so up in arms about these parents calling about the president's speeches. It's a whole new thing. Parents haven't been involved in schools and kids in years.
We can't understand you.
The last something spoken in words about parents up in arms. Go ahead.
I said, like the president's speech, everybody's up in arms, right?
Right.
It's because parents don't normally get involved in the schools, so they don't know what to do with it.
Well, I think that's probably it, that if parents were involved all the time in schools, that they probably wouldn't have all this brouhaha going on.
Well, yeah, because then the parents would have something to do with what's going on with being taught, and, you know, that would just totally kabod the whole thing.
Well, that's scary. You mean parents are actually getting involved with what's being taught at the schools?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Actually be concerned and know.
I don't know.
It'd be a new novelty.
I think that could be against the law. But
it could be.
It's not all parents. Of course, parents do care, and that's why they put their kids in other schools and all that. But, you know, like I said, when I read that about, you know, how sad it would be if parents questioned everything that was being taught or got inquired by everything being taught, that to me would be sad not to.
Exactly.
Okay, we got to run.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Ian.
Norm, you're on Free Fire Radio.
Morning, Carl, Linda. How you
morning.
Doing?
Morning. We're great.
The only thing I've got to say is, you know, as kids, we were all told the same thing. You're judged by the company you keep. All you have to do is look about the people that he surrounded himself with, and you can't figure out one person in there you want to go have lunch with.
Wow.
Well, now, I can say that his national security advisor, James Jones, is a retired Marine Corps four-star general that I worked for.
That doesn't help him a bit.
Well, hey, you know, you got to stand up for those Marines. Okay, Norm, thanks a lot. Bruce, good morning. You're on Free Fire Radio.
Morning, Carl. There
good
is
morning.
No possible way in this world that somebody could take an 1,100-page bill and articulate what's in it in 1 hour speech. You want to think back of what he'd done with the stimulus that had to be done right now, and the bailout GM had to be done right. Everything has to be done within 5 days, and nobody has a clue. This administration is completely out of control. They need to kill that bill, and it does need something done with the health system, but it certainly doesn't need to be done overnight.
Well, I agree 100%.
Thank you.
Thanks. You know, we were just talking about this. You know, how about this? How about a way of approaching the health care like this? You know, we have some of the finest health care in the entire world is in the United States, in our country. Having said that, however, there are parts of our health care system that do need to have attention paid to it to help our fellow citizens with it. Do we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater? Absolutely not. But are there parts that have to be fixed and tweaked and moved and stuff like this? Yes, absolutely. I think everybody agrees on that. But to come in and give the impression because I don't think anybody knows for sure what's going to happen on this. You know, what's the public option? Now that's gone. Oh no, if you don't have the public option, then we're not going to vote for it. If you have the public option, we're not going to vote for it. You know, what is this? What, you know, because it is 1100 pages, but that was just one plan. There was like six or seven different plans. It's going to be interesting to see what the president says tonight in his speech. What's he going to say? Is the public plan out now? How are you going to change it? The other thing, too, from what I understand, is that the health care plan doesn't even start to 2013. All these changes. I've got to go back and check on that, see if that's true. If that's the case, why is, if everything is so, you know, needs to be fixed right now, why doesn't it start now? Is it because the next election's in 2012? Mm-hmm. Could that be it? I don't know if that's true, so we'll have to check on that. But, okay.
Tomorrow we have Five Star Bank, the CEO, the president of the local chapter here, Eric Woodstrom, is going to be on. So it's going to be Ask Your Banker. Yeah. We're going to be talking about what's happening with the money market.
And the stimulus package and small business, but other things that are happening in banking that, you know, where did all the money go to? This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?